Amen. Just to obey the
God
Lord. We love
you, Pastor.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's a joy to be here. I want to tell you, I count it a great joy, a great honor to be able to come and preach here at Pleasant View. Amen. Has been a good while since I've been here, but I see things are still pressing on. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of God upon the ministry here. And it's a lot more of you here than what it used to be when I used to first come. Amen. The building's bigger. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for what the Lord's been doing for you. Amen. And we thank God for a good trip today. My grandson came with us and drove us up here, and we appreciate him doing that. Amen. I'm really glad he come, because I went to get my Bible and got his Bible. So I hope that'll work tonight. I hope he's got a King James Bible. That's all I hope. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I went out there and I got my Bible in the dark, and my Bible's red, and I picked up this red Bible. I come to find out it's his. So I hope it'll work tonight. Amen. So thank God for his goodness. Amen. Well, I had some jokes. I had some jokes in my Bible, but I lost them, so I ain't got no jokes to tell you. Amen. But anyway, the pastor, when he called me, said pretty much we was preaching out of the book of John, and I kind of geared myself for that this week. Amen. I'm sure the first few nights at least I'll be preaching out of the book of John. If the Lord changes that at the end of the week, then so be it. But I've kind of geared to preach out of the book of John and pray the Lord to bless that and use that. Amen. All right, well, to start the service tonight, this is unusual, but since I'm preaching out of John, I want you to turn to John 3, amen. Amen. John chapter number 3, if you'll turn there, probably the most familiar chapter in the Bible, in John chapter number 3, and probably the most familiar subject in the book of John, but we want to start there tonight. In my little bit of studying, I hope not a little bit of studying, but in my studying the book of John, John writes about a lot of different subjects. But John focuses a lot on light. He talks about light. He focuses a lot on love. And he focuses a lot on life. And so I want to take that some 36 times in the Gospel of John. He writes about having life. And so I want to try to focus on that tonight with the Lord's help. Amen. Out of John chapter number 3. If you're physically able to stand, we'll stand and read the Bible tonight. And understand, John, this is what I understood in my studies, the Gospel of John involves about 20 days in the Lord's ministry. So this whole book is about 20 days out of the three years of his ministry. And so the Lord was a very busy man, amen. Somebody said to me tonight, said, I understand you busy. I thought about the Lord. I don't even hold a like to what the Lord did, amen. But we do a lot of running here and there. I think if you're trying to do God's will, you will be busy. Amen. I don't think God's ever called a lazy man to the ministry. Amen. Amen. So John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Let's begin reading in the first verse there. The Bible said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I want to preach on that simple subject tonight in this great church. I want to preach on ye must be born again. Only way to have revival, you got to start somewhere, amen. You got to have a birth before you can ever get to revival, amen. And so I want to try to preach on that simple subject tonight. Ye must be born again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us come. Thank you for the blessings of God and safety on the road. And thank you to walk in this place tonight and feel the very presence of God. Thank you for the good singing of the choir and the specials and the young ladies. All that you've done tonight, God, we praise you for. Lord, we do not take it for granted that we're here. I well agree with the preacher. We're not here to perform. We're not here to entertain. But God, we are here to try to preach the word of God. Help us to do that in power. In the demonstration of the Spirit of God, grant us liberty now, I pray. And God, we pray when it's all said and done, you'd get honor and glory to your name. For it's in Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Back at our church on Wednesday night for some time now, we've been studying the miracles in the Bible. And I've been going through the Bible about the miracles in the Bible. Jesus, some, according to who you're reading, after some 33 or 34 miracles Jesus did that are recorded. We know he did many more miracles than that, but there are some 33, 34, maybe 35, according to how you look at it, miracles that are recorded that Jesus did in his earthly ministry. As a matter of fact, we know he did more because the Bible said in John 20:30, he said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So Jesus did many, many more miracles, but John records about 8 miracles that Jesus did. As I thought about that, and I thought about the miracles that Jesus performed in the turning the water into wine, I don't think that we will ever have a situation that we get to a wedding and the wine run out and the Lord has to turn the water into wine. But I believe these miracles have a message in them. So the miracles are to give us a message. I say that to say this. Miracles have meanings to them. We're not going to have a situation where we need water turn into wine. So what did I get out of that? Well, the wine was to never run out. So there was a disappointment at that wedding. So that I take that miracle to speak to my heart personally that Jesus is still in the miracle working business, that he can help you in your disappointments. If you serve God long enough, you're going to have a miracle because you are going to get disappointed. Amen and amen. But the Lord is able to meet us in our disappointments. Amen. And then a little bit later in John 5, he healed the impotent man. Now we probably are not going to have an impotent man, so to speak, that we place our hands on him and he gets healed. But I do know this, it speaks to me that God is still in the miracle working business, that he can help us in our disabilities. God is still working miracles to help us in our disabilities, amen. I can testify to that tonight, amen, to the fact that I'm only here by a miracle of God. If I went by what doctors told me and what my wife told me, hello, I probably wouldn't be here, amen. But God is able to help us in our disability. I'm glad, thank God, he's still doing that. Matter of fact, my son Philip went deaf in his left ear. Completely lost his hearing. Then that started in his right ear and he lost half the hearing in his right ear. And so he went to the medical university and he got tested there and they said, there's nothing you can do for that. They said, there's no medical device, there's no surgery, nothing that you can do to get your hearing back in your left ear. Matter of fact, you better go ahead and get a hearing aid for your right ear. Because if you don't, your mind's going to cut your hearing off. That's what they told him. They said, your mind will eventually cut off the hearing in your right ear. In other words, son, you're going to be deaf. And there's nothing we can do about it. Well, we sent him to another doctor. That doctor said the same thing. And naturally, as his parents, we were very concerned and prayed. And my wife come across a scripture where the Lord spit and touched the man's ear and his hearing came back. And my wife said she claimed that. And she said, Lord, spit is a natural thing. And so the medical doctors have said that there's nothing we can do. We went through that channel. I want you to know we're not crazy. Somebody help me right there. We went to the medical university. We went to the medical doctors and all of them said, nothing we can do. You may as well get ready to help that ear that's got some hearing in it. That's the only thing we can work on. And so my wife claimed this verse in the Bible about Jesus touching the man and spitting on his spitting and touching his ear. And she said, Lord, spit's a natural thing. I'm going to look for a natural remedy. Y'all don't laugh at me now. And so we sent him to one of these natural doctors. And the natural doctor said, yes, you're deaf in that ear, but I believe that I can give you something to help you. And so Philip said, well, give it to me. So he gave it to him, and he come home, and for a month, he took it religiously. I think I done blowed this meeting. He went back after he took it to the medical university. And he told the doctor, he said, "Doctor, I want you to check me again." And the doctor checked him again. He said, "There's nothing we can do to help you." And he said, "Doctor, I'm going to another doctor." And he went to another doctor. And he went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor who had already told him, "Nothing we can do to help." And so he said, "Doctor, I want to ask you one thing before I leave. Would you put that hearing aid in my left ear?" He said, "Son, I done told you a hearing aid won't do it." He said, "All I'm asking you to do is put that hearing aid in my left ear." He put the hearing aid in his left ear, and he could hear perfectly. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you, God's still helping out disability. I don't think it was the hearing aid. I think God touched him, amen. My point is, God still helps us in our disabilities, amen. Still believe God does that. He may have to use some natural means to do it, but he does it. Hey, John 6, the Bible said, Jesus said 5,000, really 15,000, amen, because the bread, they had no bread. They had nothing to eat. In other words, he helped them in their desires. God is still meeting miracle, doing miracles and helping us realize our desires. Amen and amen. He said he'd give you the desires of your heart. Hey, in John chapter number 6, he walked on water. To sum this up real quickly, they were in despair. Hey, I doubt if we have to have a miracle that we're out on the lake and that Jesus comes walking us on the water. But I do know this, in our life we face despair. And I'm going to tell you, he comes to us in our despair, and he is able to help us in our despair to overcome and be victorious for the Lord. Amen. I'm glad he still helps us in our despair. Amen. In John chapter number 9, there was a blind man that could not see. And the Lord come to that man, and as a result of a miracle in his darkness house, the Lord was able to help him see. I'm saying God still works in darkness. I don't know. I don't want to get bogged down on this. Amen. I didn't come up here to cry, but I'm telling you, I've never seen days that are so dark. I've been pastoring one church for 30 years. I've been saved 38 years. I've never seen days in my ministry that are dark like they are today. But I'm glad God's still working. Hallelujah. Hey, you'll face some dark days when you serve in God. If you've sold out to serve God, you're going to face some dark days. But God's still a miracle-working God, that he helps us in our darkest hour. Hallelujah. John chapter number 11, there was a dead man. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. I like to see them charismatics when they got them 4 days dead. I want to see them go down to the cemetery when they're already put in the ground. Then I'll start believing that. Are you listening? But until then, amen. But I'm telling you, we have a miracle working son of God that he's able to help us even when death comes. Amen. I could preach on all of these tonight, really, amen. But I'm glad God's able to help us when death comes our way. He still works miracles. I'm telling you, if God didn't do something for us when death comes, we would not be able to keep on keeping on. But God has a way of working miracles. When death comes, he's able to compass us. In our darkest days, he's able to compass us when death comes. John 21, they fished all night and caught nothing. The Bible said Jesus showed up on the shore and said, "Cast your net on the right side." Amen. And they encompassed the multitude. Matter of fact, John 21, they counted them, 153. Amen. One place you'll find Peter fishing, he caught fish, amen, the nets filled up, was no number. But in John 21, he's fixing to be a pastor. Amen. When he was in evangelism, it was just a multitude. But now that he's a pastor, he's counting them, amen. Y'all help me. He counted it with 153 fish. Believe me, on Sunday morning, your preacher knows how many's here. Amen. Hey, he's able to help us in our deficiency. Cast your net on the right side. Amen. And he encompassed a multitude, 153. God is able to help us in our deficiency. I was preaching on that at the church, and some of the young people come after the church and said, "Preacher, do you realize what you said?" I said, "What did I say?" He said, "If you fished all night and caught nothing, and you said he's able to help you when you're deficient." I said, "I didn't really realize it, but it sounds pretty good to me, amen." Hey, when you ain't got no fish, hey, God can still help you. Amen. As I studied these and thought about that, I thought about these miracles that are recorded in John. But I noticed none of the writers recorded John 3. They talked about all I just talked about, but they didn't record John chapter number 3. What are you trying to say? Well, I thought about the greatest miracle of all miracles is John 3. Hey, I'm telling you, listen to me. Hey, the being born again is the greatest miracle of all the miracles God could do. The greatest miracle is a man, woman, boy, girl, get born again. Are you listening to me? Matter of fact, if I study correctly, John mentions that word in his epistles and in the Gospel of John. He mentions that term, born again, 8 times. 8's the number of new beginning. And John mentions the term born again in his writings 8 times. I said that to say this. Nothing will ever happen in your life spiritually until you get born again. You've got to have a new start, amen. Now I realize I'm preaching to one of the greatest churches in the country tonight, but I'm telling you, you never get too great. You don't be reminded that you must be born again. Matter of fact, George Whitfield, they tell me, preached it literally 1,000 times. And they came to him and asked him, why do you keep preaching that message? You know why? Because that day the churches was filling up with lost people. Hey, you didn't have to give a confession of faith to join the church in that day. And the churches had filled up with lost people. And his harvest was coming out of the churches because he kept preaching, you must be born again. I say that to say this. You cannot get past this term. You got to be born again. Amen. Only God can do that. I'm telling you, Pastor, the further I get in the ministry and the more I understand, hey, it is nothing less than a miracle of God that somebody gets born again. I found out people can act like they're born again, put on a pretty good show they've been born again, but I'm telling you, unless God births you, you'll never go to heaven. Are you listening to me, church? Hey, the miracle of all miracles is supernatural. For somebody to get born again is supernatural. Amen and amen. You know, I often wonder, did it just happen to me? I often wonder, when I got born again, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't have no convictions. But immediately I got born again, God started saying, that's wrong. You ought to do that. And then I see a lot of people say they're born again. They didn't get the kind I got. That don't mean I'm special. I just wonder why God didn't do that for them, what he did for me. Y'all help me now. I'm telling you, it's supernatural. Amen. Miracles of grace are greater than miracles of glory. Amen and amen. The songwriter said it well when he said this. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. I say it took a miracle. Amen. I'm not trying to cop out that God not still working miracles like we read about, but God is a miracle working God. Amen and amen. There's no greater miracle than to be born again. I got through Sunday night, and I was walking out of the church, and one of the good members of my church come running back in the church. He said, preacher, my boy's out there 7 years old. He said, my boy's out there, sharp little fella. He said, my boy's out there. He said, he's weeping and crying. And preacher, his mama have been with him through this before, and we just didn't think he was ready. But preacher, he's tore up. He's under conviction. I said, bring him back in here, and we'll talk to him. And I got to talking to him, and I said to Reed, what's wrong, son? He said, preacher, I'm scared if I die tonight, I'm going to hell. 7 years old. And I tell you, I started dealing with him. I was satisfied he knew what he was doing. He called on God and got born again. I'm trying to tell you, the greatest miracle is to see somebody born again. Amen and amen. Let me give you this real quick, amen. I'll tell you, this hard preaching won't stop it. Hard preaching promotes it. Why are you saying? Well, in John chapter number 2, Jesus went to the temple and turned it upside down. You'd think, dear God, that'd run everybody off. I tell you, didn't Nicodemus, it run them to him. Yeah, man. Hey, he's over there turning tables up, throwing the money out, amen. Hey, he's over there. I'm talking about hard preaching. My house shall not be called, and shall not be made a house of merchandise. It shall be a house of prayer. He let them have it. What come out of that hard preaching? A man got saved. Amen. 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 You know, I just thought of that. Sunday night was not pleasant. Hello. Sunday night, I already walked out the pulpit Sunday night, Brother Dylan said, what a mess. I mean, I kind of put the hammer down. You have to do that every now and then. And I put the hammer down, and I thought, dear God, what could the Lord use out of that? Well, I'll tell you what happened. That little boy got born again. Amen. Hey, let me get this, get to my message real quick, amen. First of all, there's a reason for the new birth. There's a reason for it. What Jesus is telling Nicodemus is that you need to be radically, completely, and eternally changed. I read this. I hope this don't startle you, but I did read this. Somebody gave me a book. Matter of fact, I think it was Jerry Wayne Carter gave me this book, and I was reading this book, and in it had a chapter or so on Billy Graham. And Billy Graham made this statement. Billy Graham said after all his years of ministry and all of his campaigns and crusades, he said he's come to the conclusion probably 75% of that crowd never got saved. Now, that wouldn't impress me so much if I said that or your pastor said that. But for Billy Graham to make this statement, 75% of those that walked the aisle, he said he was about convinced they never got saved. I want to tell you, I don't preach to get people to die. I think that's wicked. But I am telling you, we are dealing with eternity. You better know that you've been born again. Hey, you got to be radically, completely, and eternally changed. Why is that true? Because you're bound by a natural world. You're born into a natural world. The Bible saying, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. John deals with life. He said, you were dead in trespasses and sin. And he said, by nature, you are the children of wrath. Hey, our very nature is sinful. Why do we have to have a new birth? Because we have to have a new nature. I know this is elementary, but it's where God told me to start tonight. I'm telling you, you have to have a new birth to get a new nature. Doing good things don't make it right, amen. Hey, a wrong nature can do good works. The Bible don't talk about good works. The Bible tells a Christian talks about fruit. Amen, amen. Hey, a lost man can do good works, but he can't bear fruit. My point is simply this. Hey, you got to have a new birth because you're born into a natural world, and then you're bound by a sinful world. Are you listening to me? Not only are we sinners by nature, but we are sinners by practice. And you know what occurred to me, and I know you've preached this, but I'll tell you, some years ago this occurred to me. What was the awful sin that brought sin into the world? It wasn't fornication. It wasn't adultery. Wasn't nobody to run around with. Hello? What was the awful sin that brought sin and the curse of sin into the world? They took a piece of fruit. How bad you got to be lost? They took a piece of fruit. Hello? Hey, a man's not a sinner because he sins. He sins because he's a sinner. I did not know this. Y'all probably did. I did not know this. A wormhole in the apple is not an evidence that the apple, that the worm has eaten his way into the apple. It's an evidence that the worm has eaten his way out of the apple. Somebody goes and looks for apples and buys apples. They check it and see if there's a hole in it. Y'all help me. I'm telling you, this is the best point I got in this message. And so we'll look and we'll say, well, there's a hole in that apple. There's a worm in it. No, that hole is the evidence there is no worm in it. Are you listening? Matter of fact, when you go and get an apple, if they ain't got a hole in it, you might be able to suspect that. Are you listening to me? How did the worm get in the apple? The egg was laid in the blossom. And that hole is an evidence that the worm has eaten his way out. Well, preacher, what has that got to do? Well, I'm going to tell you, it was in the heart of the apple. My point is simply this. Sin's in your heart before it ever eats its way to the surface. Amen and amen. Does not Matthew 15 say this? Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. I'm telling you, that's in your heart. And as long as you stay lost, it will eat its way to the surface. Amen and amen. The heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. Amen and amen. Reformation won't fix it. Amen and amen. It takes regeneration. You have to be regened. Amen. I got here the first time through the genes of my daddy, Allen Willis. I got here the second time through the genes of the Holy Ghost. You've got to be regenerated, regened, amen. You've got to have a new nature, amen. You've got to be born again. You're born into a natural world, bound by a sinful world. You're blind to a spiritual world. In verse number 3, notice what he said in our text. In verse number 3, he says in our text in verse 3, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Amen. They don't perceive it. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. Without the new birth, you can't see it. Hello? I think Nicodemus was confused in this chapter. I personally don't think he got saved in chapter 3. He was in confusion. What do you want me to do? Go back to my mother's womb and be born again? That's confusion. Amen. Religious people get confused. He's religious. Religious people get confused when you talk about being born again. Oh, you listen, I know when I got saved, and I don't want to get in that tonight. I know when I got saved, the whole church that I grew up in, when I got saved, they didn't understand it. The deacons didn't understand it. The preacher didn't understand it. I'm talking about a Baptist church. They did not understand that I got born again. Religious people, they're confused about this thing about being born again. Amen and amen. He's in confusion. You see him in chapter 7. He's under conviction. I think he's under conviction in chapter 7. But when you get to chapter 19, I think that's where he got saved. I seem to believe that because he went to the tomb and they took Jesus off the cross. He probably got the blood on him. Jesus was on the cross. Nicodemus went. Joseph of Arimathea went to the tomb. And Jesus done told him in John chapter number 3, he said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I personally think when he got down there to the cross, he looked up. I think that verse rung in his soul. And when he went to get him off the cross, he was beat to a bloody pulp. He got blood on him. I want to apply that typically, amen, and say, I believe he got saved down at Calvary. That's a good place to get saved. Amen. Somebody help me, amen. Hey, he didn't understand it, amen. Hey, Nicodemus was rich, respected, religious. He was a ruler, but he did not understand it. Amen and amen. Paul said what? Having their understanding darkened. Amen. They don't understand. They can't comprehend it. The Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I'm simply saying to us, hey, Nicodemus didn't understand. When a lost man says he don't see it, he's telling you the truth. Amen and amen. So let me get to the next point. The reason why you have to have the new birth, the requirement of the new birth. To have a birth, you got to have a conception. Amen. It takes two parents to produce a child. And it ain't Adam and Steve. Hello. And you know we make that statement so nonchalantly, but I'm telling you, everywhere I go to preach now, I make that statement. I certainly wouldn't think I'd have to make it in this church. Hello. But I am about to come to the conclusion, Pastor, when you preach to people anymore, you don't know who you're preaching to. I preached the other night on Jeremiah quitting. If I'd have been preaching and Jeremiah had been in the service, I'd have said, I don't have to worry about Jeremiah quitting. I said he was the last person I'd have to worry about quitting. But you know what Jeremiah said? He said, Lord, I'm quitting. Hello? When you're preaching in the service anymore with what I'm seeing happening, I don't take nothing for granted. And I know I'm preaching in one of the greatest churches there is, but I don't take nothing for it. Hey, would y'all that saved give me an opportunity to try to reach somebody that maybe is not saved? Amen. Amen and amen. Hey, it takes two to have a birth, a woman and a man. Hello, it takes two to have a spiritual birth. It takes the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. The Bible said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I don't tell you, just word preaching won't get it done. I get to preach to some, I feel like I get to preach, I don't know how. I don't know how that happened. I get to preach to some of the best churches. But I've been in churches, ain't nothing but the word only. I mean, straight as a gun barrel, has no spirit. Amen and amen. Dead as a hammer. I preach in churches, gun barrel straight, amen. They dot their I's, they cross their T's. But I'm telling you, dead as a hammer. That's word only preaching. Amen. And then we have them churches that spirit only. And no word. They just come to get emotionally involved. Emotion without devotion is a bunch of commotion. Amen. I think some people have this concept, not this church, and yet I'm going to preach to y'all like y'all need it. Amen. Hey, I think some people have this concept. Let's go to revival and get our emotions stirred. I'm for that. I pump it. I prime it. I believe in it. But if that's all gets stirred this week, ain't no revival going to take place. Amen and amen. There's a bunch of spirit-only churches. There's a bunch of word-only churches. But thank God every now and then you run on one up on something that's got the word and the spirit. Amen. Hey, our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Amen. Peter said you must be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Amen. I tell you what, I was reading my Bible, and the Bible said the Holy Spirit, the word of God, produced the word of God. That's my mama. And my mama won't let me vote for Obama. Hello. My mama said you can't vote for somebody who believes in killing babies. Hello. My mama said you can't vote for somebody that promotes homosexuality. Hey, my mama won't let me vote for Obama. My point is simply this, amen. It takes two to produce a birth. Amen. It takes the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. And I believe when the Word of God is preached in power and the unction of the Holy Ghost, people are going to be dealt with to be saved. That's what's happening at Pleasant View, Brother Herb. Amen. The Word of God has went forth from this pulpit in power and authority with the unction of the Holy Ghost. And God has birthed people into the family of God. Hallelujah for that, amen. Nicodemus had an MI degree. He was a master of Israel, but he needed a BA degree. He needed to get born again. Amen. We got more degrees and less heat than we ever had. Amen. Hello. I pulled up in a parking lot. I won't tell you where. I was pulled up in a parking lot. I was going to preach revival, and me and my wife pulled up in the parking lot. And I don't know, is that the marquee? Is that what they call it, the marquee? I pull up. I call it a sign. Amen. I pull up in the sign. Had revival starting. Dr. Alfred Willis. I punched my wife. I said, hey. I said, Mama, they got me. She laughed harder than I did. Dr. Willis. Lord, help, amen. What is your point? I'm just telling you, we need the power of God. We got to have the word of God in power. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm just simply saying there's a requirement. It takes two. Amen. The results of the new birth, you get a new father. Are you listening to me? The Bible doesn't teach the universal fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man. But by physical creation, we may be related. But I'm going to tell you, we're only brothers and sisters as we've been born again. That's why I don't understand when the governor of Alabama, he knows you got to be politically correct. Why would he ever say it in a position as governor? Why would he have ever made the statement, you're not my brother or sister unless you've been born again? I don't know if y'all read that in the paper, but some months ago, the governor of Alabama made this statement. You're not my brother or sister unless you've been born again. I thought when I heard him say it, he's going to have to retract that or either get fired. Now, you would think a man of that intelligence, and I'm for him. I like what he said. But when he said that, I said, you know he's going to face that. He did. And he kind of redirected it. I'm telling you tonight, and I ain't redirecting it. You're not my brother unless you're born again. Amen. Hello, y'all help me. I found out born again. Hey, born again people receive the Father's nature. In the sense that, hey, you know the happiest place in a hospital? Hospital's not a happy place. There's one floor in the hospital that's happy. It's the maternity ward. People go to the hospital for a lot of reasons. Amen. I've seen them fellowship. I've seen them laugh. I've seen them do all kinds of things. But really, that ain't why they're there. People go to the hospital because of sadness. But there is a happy section in the hospital. That's the maternity ward. Amen, amen and amen. I've seen big old strapping men act slap crazy. Standing at the window goo-goo in that people. Honestly, sickening. I used to make this statement. Now I'm a pastor. I don't make it much more. I ain't never seen a pretty baby. I lost this meeting for sure now. Most everyone I see just born ugly. I'm talking ugly. Amen. And now till you have grandchildren, it changes then. I mean, God, before God, when they roll my boy Philip out, y'all don't tell him this. When they roll Philip out, doctor said, you have a brand new baby boy. I thought, oh, Lord. Dear Lord. Lord, that boy is ugly. My son. Amen. But then he started having children. Now they look pretty good. Somebody help me. Hey, the happy place in the hospital is on the maternity ward. Let me tell you, when the church gets happy. Yeah. Amen. When babies are being born into the family of God. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know why? They'll start acting like their father.
Yeah.
Amen. Sure as a child's born by the father, amen, he's going to start acting like the father. You've seen that in the physical realm. I know this is so simple, but y'all just leave me alone. Amen. I tell you, I'm telling you, when you get born again, you'll start acting like your father. Amen and amen. You've seen children, you say, Clay acts just like his daddy. Well, you're supposed to. Hey, you get born again, you start associating with your family. Amen. They don't have to beg you to come to dinner. You want to associate with the family of God. Probably the truth of the matter is we all been reunions and hung around family reunions, amen. After about 5 minutes, ain't much more to say. Because most of them's lost. But I'm telling you, get this family together, we'll have to cut the lights out and tell you to go real start tomorrow night. Why? We like associating with the family. I got problems with people telling me they're born again, but they don't like going to church. Hey, you want to associate with the family. You want to act like the Father. He's holy. Matter of fact, I read this in the Bible. There's a holy Father, a holy Son, a holy Spirit, a holy Bible. We're going to a holy city. I tell you, we ought to be holy. Amen. Lord, help. Amen. Hey, if your religion hadn't changed you, you need to change religions. Amen and amen. I not only say you act like the father, associate with the family, but your appearance will change.
Amen.
He looks like his daddy. Or he looks like his mama. Somebody help me. You start walking different. You start talking different. You know, we say that's so shallow preaching, and I realize it is, but I'm telling you, I've heard preachers cuss in the pulpit. I had a man come preach in my pulpit and got in my pulpit and cussed. Are you listening? I thought, my God, if he'll cuss in the pulpit, wonder what he's doing behind the barn. Hello? You said, has he preached for you anymore? I never had him back. We're living, I'm telling you, church, we're living in some confusing days. Are you listening to me? Hey, you'll start talking like your father. Hello? Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, that night that preacher cussed in my pulpit, y'all's minds are running, but it ain't who you're thinking about. Hello? That night, that day that man cussed in my pulpit, I had a man and a wife, and his wife, they had lost. And they left the church that day. And they called me up that afternoon. And they said, preacher, we visited the first time. Said, preacher, we visited your church this morning. I said, yeah. Said, who was that man in the pulpit cussing? Yeah. And I said, they said, he did cuss, didn't he? Yeah. I said, well, he did. They said, you let preachers cuss in your pulpit? I said, well, not normally.
Right. That's exactly right.
Are you listening to me? My point is simply this. When you get born again, you start at, I don't think he cusses. Hello. Preacher, I don't know why I'm saying all this tonight. All this ain't really in my nose. I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you. I've hung around preachers. I'm telling you to do some pretty shady stuff. I'm about sick of it, amen. I don't want to hear your dirty jokes, amen. Amen. You start acting like your father. Some, when you get born again, he'll change, amen. Amen and amen. Hey, notice this. There'll be a deep love for Christ. I think when you get born again, you can fall in love with Jesus. Hello. There'll be a definite witness of the Spirit. Amen. There'll be a desire to be holy. Amen. There'll be a distaste for the world. I'm not preaching this. I preach this. I preach like honest, brother. Pastor, I want to tell you, everywhere I go, I preach the same way. My wife was talking about it just recently. I preached in a church somewhere, and they told me that night, the pastor told me, he said, now, tomorrow night a visiting choir is coming. I said, man, that'd be wonderful. I'd add excitement, more people. That'd be wonderful. He said, yeah, we got a visiting choir coming tomorrow night. I said, wonderful. I'm for it, man. And so the choir walked in, and I'd already had my message. It was along this lines of having a distaste for the world. You won't like worldliness no more. And so I had some notes in there. Thank God I had them wrote down. I probably would have skipped a couple of them, amen. When that crowd walked in, all I could see was flesh. They walked up in the choir. I had to bow my head, Pastor. But I'd already had it in my notes. I mean, I done wrote it out in my notes. And when I got to that point, the Holy Ghost said, what you going to do on this, boy? Said, the last time you preached it, you reared back and let them have it. He said, what you going to do tonight? I said, I reckon I'm going to rear back and let them have it. And I just reared back and let them close. I reared back and closed my eyes and let them have it. Amen. You talk about a crowd got mad. Dear God, they was going outside doors, back doors. Wasn't nobody going out my door. They got mad, friend. Because I'm telling you, it was so worldly. Hello. And so the pastor come to him and he said, oh, good preaching, preacher. I like that old time preaching. Let it rip. I said, thank God the pastor likes it. Amen. And they picked me up the next night to take me for supper. And his wife was dressed like that. There's something about getting saved that hasn't put a distaste for the world in your heart. Amen. I mean, my wife was talking not long ago, just recently. Maybe we was talking about what I just told. I don't know. But we was talking, and she said she's raised in a Methodist church. She never heard no preaching. She never heard the God. And she got saved one night in a liberal Baptist church. And she said right after that, she never heard anything about dressing right. And she said she was in the bedroom, cleaning up the bedroom, making up the bed, and with one of them mirrors, you know, one of them long mirrors, and she walked by the mirror in a pair of shorts, and she walked by, never heard any preaching on that. And she walked by that mirror, and the Holy Ghost said, that don't look right. Wonder why he does that to us. And I holler and scream about it. Hello. When you get born again, there'll be a distasteful world. It won't be because the preacher said it. It'll be because the Holy Ghost said it. Amen. I like what the black preacher said. He said, if you is what you was, then you ain't. I'm inclined to agree. When you get saved, there'll be a new father. There'll be a new fortune. Amen. What is that? Hey, the songwriter again said it. Well, my father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Hey, when you got put into the family of God, you got a mighty rich father. Amen. He's able to meet our needs. Amen. Hey, I only got the down payment called the Holy Ghost. And I'm already enjoying it pretty good. Imagine what he's got waiting for us. Amen and amen. Bible said, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth and gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believe, ye will seal with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We just got the down payment. We enjoying it. Hello, amen. I'm just simply saying God is well able to take care of you when you get born again. We're living in days of crisis in the economy. But I am telling you, God's still taking care of us. Hello, amen. I remember when I went, nobody wouldn't call me the pastor. I had to start a church. And I remember when I quit my job, I was making $600 a week at the Charleston Naval Shipyard. And I quit my job and took the church. That was all they could pay me then, was $600 a month. I went from $600 a week to $600 a month. And your pastor probably did the same thing. But I'm going to tell you what, God's taking care of us. Me and my wife are riding down the road in one accord. Hello. Hello. You get born again, you get a new father, a new fortune, you get a new future. I like this and I'm through. A birth has no yesterdays. Everything about birth is future. That's why you need to be born again. Somebody said, if you could, I'm going to start right now tonight and I'm going to try to live the rest of my life to please the Lord. That would be one if you could, but what you going to do with your past? Here's the wonderful thing about birth. Birth has no past. I've never seen the sheriff's department down at the maternity ward and they roll the baby out and say, baby, you're under arrest. And if the baby could talk, he would say, what for, deputy? Because of what you did in there. I didn't do nothing. I just got here. Amen. Thank God when you get born again, forget your past. It's all gone. Amen. He'll never remind you of your past. Why? Because you don't have a past. Amen. That's real good when you live the drunkard's life, a prostitute's life, or a harlot's life, or dope past. Hey, not to have any past. The devil will haunt you with your past, but tell the devil you don't have a past. Amen and amen. Everything, that's the best point I got. Everything about birth is future. Amen. When the backslider comes home, thank God, we'll wipe away his past. Thank God I ain't got a past. Every now and then I go back home up to Cottageville where I was raised, and my old buddies I used to run with, they said, Alfred, I can't believe you a preacher the way we used to do and the way we used to live and what we used to do. And God's over there saying, what sins they talking about? Thank God I ain't got a past. Amen. Everything's future. You get a new future. Amen. Thank God for that. You say, well, what if I fall and mess up? He'll pick you up and clean you up. Amen. Hey, I've been a Willis all my life. Not because I behave like a Willis all the time. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes when I didn't behave like a Willis, my father reminded me. Amen. And I have a father in heaven. If you don't behave like he wants you to, he'll remind you. Amen. Thank God. Thank God you can't. You ever seen a child born twice? That'd be a monstrosity. In the physical realm, I've never seen a child born twice. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't be born twice spiritually either. You got to be born again. Amen. One time. I have a bright future. I'm saved. Brother Herb, thank God I have a bright future. I'm secure. When I first got saved, I'd have argued with you over that. I was holding on. I found out, thank God, I could turn loose. He's a hole in me. I don't have to worry. Hey, I don't go to bed at night and worry about my salvation. Why? I don't possess it. He possesses it. Amen. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not my salvation. It's the salvation he purchased and gave to me. Amen and amen. I'm secure. I'll tell you what else. I'm satisfied. Thank God. I'll tell you something else. I'm through. Amen. If you could ever get people to see, it's not your benevolence, it's not your baptism, it's not your belonging, it's having life. 36 times, John said, life, life, life. You got to have life. Amen. I read this story. I read where this man and his wife was riding in the mountains, and he wanted to get on the parkway. And his wife said, honey, I see the gas is kind of low. You might ought to get some gas before you get on the parkway. He said, oh, we just get up there and ride a little bit. We'll be all right. She said, honey, you better get some gas now. When you get on the parkways, you will be out in the mountains. And ain't no filling stations out there. He said, oh, it'll be all right. You know how we are. You know how you probably would have got there 30 minutes early if you'd have stopped and asked directions, sir. But you ain't going to ask directions because your wife's trying to tell you, get directions. Y'all ain't get that. So he got on the parkway. He's a-riding. The sun's going down. He looks down. His wife is sleeping. Amen. He looks down, and the gas hand is just on empty. And he's desperately now looking for a gas station. And so he says, oh, God, I'm going to run out of gas, and she's going to be right. And he said he rounded a curve, and he saw this old, looked like an antiques gas pump outside. Surely didn't pump gas out of that thing, but he wheeled in, and an old mountaineer walked out. And he said, sir, do y'all sell gas? He said, well, I sure do. He said, thank God I can get gas. And after he got relieved of that, he looked at the old man, and he said, sir, I just want to tell you, it's great to be alive. He said, you think it's great to be alive? He said, yeah, I think it's great to be alive. He said, do you? He said, no, I don't know. I ain't never been nothing else. Could I tell you, I've been something else. I've been dead in trespasses and sin. You probably couldn't appreciate it like you appreciate it if you never been lost. Hey, but thank God, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I want to tell you, it's great to be alive. This is better than a junk joint, pool room, drag strip, better than anything I ever experienced in the world, amen. Thank God I've been born again. Amen and amen. Tell you what it takes to get to heaven. You got to have a birth. Give you this real quick. Let me throw this in real quick. You got to have a breeze. He said the wind blows where it listeth. Got to be a breeze. Matter of fact, to understand wind and spirit's the same word in the Greek. Amen. I went down to the library. I found a book on wind. I walked in the library. There's a young black lady sitting there. And I walked in. I said, ma'am, do you have a book on wind? She said, a book on wind? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, why would you want a book on the wind?
I said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. And I'm going to preach on the wind's got to blow. She said, well, let's go look. I found a book on the wind in the Berkeley County Library. I want to tell you what the Berkeley County book at the library said. It said this about the wind. It said you can feel it, but you can't see it. I wrote that down. I think that's inspired. Even though it did come out of Berkeley County. He said, what? He said, you can feel it, but you can't see it. It said this in the book. It's comfortable if you're hot, but it's uncomfortable if you're hot, if you're cold. Hello? Hey, if you're cold hair spiritual tonight, before this week's over, you're going to be uncomfortable. Hello? Hey, we just hot. We want it to blow. Let it blow. Amen. I'll tell you what else the book said. It said wind causes pollination. Amen. Said most of the pollination is not done by insects and birds and bees. Most pollination is done by the wind. Wind causes pollination, which I put down creates irritation. Amen. You ever seen anybody with the pollens blowing? Hello, y'all help me. Yeah, man. I've seen big grown men come sit down in the church and the wind start blowing and they pull their handkerchief out and start wiping their eyes. You know that the wind's blowing, amen. Yeah, man. Wind causes pollination, which causes irritation, but it causes fruitation. There'll be no fruit if the wind don't blow. Hallelujah. You know what I read, Pastor? I read that wind is always blowing around water. They said because of the temperature of the water and the temperature of the land and the change in the temperatures, that constantly the wind is always blowing around water. Thank God when you get this King James Bible out, amen. It's the word of the water, the word of God. Hey, the wind will start blowing, amen. A result of what you've seen in Pleasant View Baptist Church tonight is because this King James Bible has been preached and the wind blew and you got brought into the family of God. Amen. You know what I found out about wind? You can't stop it. We was down there when Hugo come through. We had winds. We stayed in the church. Winds up to 180 mile an hour gust. Before the storm ever got there, I walked out to the front of the church. I mean, before the storm ever got there, I watched the steeple off the church just fly across the sky and land in the woods back there. That's before the storm ever got there. You think I'd be a fool to stand up there on the porch and say, Mr. Hugo, don't come this way. Well, they'd still be getting me out of them woods. What you trying to say? You can't stop the wind. It's going to blow. Matter of fact, I read this. R.A. Torrey said this. If the wind should absolutely cease to blow for a single hour, most of the life on earth would cease. Time and again, when the health reports of the different cities of the United States is issued, it has been found that the five healthiest cities in the United States were those cities located around the Great Lakes. Many have been surprised at that report when they have visited some of the cities and found them far from being the cleanest or most sanitary, but they were the most healthiest. The explanation is simply this. It is the wind blowing from the lakes that brings life and health to the city. What you trying to say, preacher? I'll tell you, if our churches are going to be healthy like they ought to be, the wind's got to blow. And if you go get born again, the wind's got to blow in your soul. Do you remember the night? Do you remember the time that the wind of Holy Ghost conviction blew in your heart? And you call on the preacher, or walk down an aisle, or got in your bedroom, or wherever you did, under conviction, and you knew the Spirit of God was dealing with you, and you know that you got born again. If we don't start there, we ain't got nowhere to start. And so let's ask ourselves that question tonight. I know there was a time, and I know there was a place that I know that I got born again. If you can't do that, be a wonderful night to start this revival.